We're holding on Samartes, onward bays, about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins Obra. Now, we learned in our Mishnah about the case of a woman who was nenas or her onus famafata, where a man had relations with her outside of marriage, whether forcibly or not. So we said, loy poslin v'loy ma'achilin, assuming that he's not apostle, if he himself is kosher, then whether he's a Yisrael or whether he's a Kohen, he has no effect on her ability to eat truma, meaning, in other words, that if she's a Bas Kohen and he's a Yisrael, then him having relations with her like that doesn't passel her from continuing to eat truma from her father's house, and vice versa. That if he's a Kohen, he doesn't make it possible, and she's a Bas Yisrael, he doesn't make it possible for her to eat truma, because that requires that they had Kiddushin and eventually Nisuin, and here they didn't, here it was outside of marriage. So now the Gemara is going to have a side discussion which is going to relate to our mission. The Gemara says, Itmar, Haba ala rusase a man has relations with his arusa in his father-in-law's house. Now, so you have the two stages, Erusin and Nisuin. What's supposed to happen is that, good morning, Ellie. What's supposed to happen is that you have the Erusin make her that she's off limits to everybody else, and also she's supposed to be off limits to him until the Nisuin, and then they have relations the first time and they consummate the marriage. In this case, he had relations with her after the Erusin, while she's still beveis chomiv, literally means in his father-in-law's house. Obviously, doesn't have to mean that it's actually physically located there. It just means that, in other words, it's before she's married, before she's fully married, when she's still living at home. Anyway, what's the din with this kid? Rav Omer ha-vlad mamzer, or Shmuel Omer ha-vlad shesukin. So Rav says that the child is a mamzer. Now we're talking about, in other words, Rashi explains that we're talking about both of them agree that he had relations with her, but since she's prutza, since she acted in a prutzistic way like that, where after all, before the Nisuin, they're not supposed to be having relations, then Rav says we have to be concerned that she may have also had relations with other people. And this being after the Edrasin already, she's also to everybody else, she's an Ashes ish. If she were to have relations with anybody else, then the kid would be a mamzer. So Rav says on that basis that the kid is a mamzer. Shmuel says the child is not a definite mamzer, but only a shsuki, which is one of the which is a term that's defined in the last paragraph of Kiddushin. Essentially, the word shsuki comes from a word that it means comes from the word shosak, which means to be quiet, because this is a kid where we know who his mother is, we don't know who his father is. So whenever he asks who his father is, his mother tells him be quiet because she doesn't know. So therefore, Shmuel's saying that that's what he is, a suffic mamzer, because he might have been fathered by the onus, he might have been fathered by somebody else. The Gemara actually in Kiddushin over there has a discussion of this machloikus. I mean, how can Rav say that the kid is definitely a mamzer and Avon, and that would mean if he's definitely a mamzer, he's able to marry a mamzeres? The Gemara actually gives several different explanations over there, including maybe that we have to flip around the two opinions, because we find elsewhere that Rav says that a kid like that is only a suffic mamzer. Or maybe what it means is Rav doesn't mean that he's a vadai mamzer. He also means that he's a suffic mamzer. Just Rav is focusing on the fact that he. So therefore, Rav would say he can't. Rav and Shmuel would both agree. In other words, according to the second version in the Gemara and Kiddushin over there, that the kid is in fact a suffic mamzer. So Rav would be focusing on they're not really arguing. Rav would be focusing on whom he's allowed to marry. Rav would say, as a suffic mamzer, he can't marry a regular Bas Yisrael because he might be a mamzer. He can't marry a mamzeres because he might be a regular yid. The only one he can marry, Rav would say, would be a giyores. And then Shmuel would be saying shsuki in the sense not just that he's a suffic mamzer because then he's agreeing with Rav, but also Shmuel is focusing on dine mamonis, that he's also not able to inherit from his father because he's only a suffic. And the Gemara gives a different explanation there as well. But whatever. Anyway, the point is. The point is that we have this machlokas. So again, okay, on the face of it, the way we have it here in the Gemara is Rav is saying he's definitely a mamzer, and Rashi actually is using that expression throughout the sugya over here. But the Gemara actually there in Kiddushin says that maybe not necessarily. Maybe Rav would in fact hold that he's only a suffic mamzer. Anyway. So Omar Rava Mistabra Milse de Rav de Daima Me Alma. Now Rava says it's more logical to accept Rava's explanation, to accept Rav's opinion, that is, that the child is a mamzer, de daima me alma, only if you have suspicion that she's also been with others. Meaning, in other words, so like this, we know that she was with her orus, because we started out saying habo'ala resase bebeis chomiv. We know that in fact there was that. But when, in addition, there's also suspicion on her, when people are talking about her, that she's also been mizana with other men, then it's more logical to accept Rav's position that the child was a mamzer, or according to the various possibilities that it says there in Kedushin, whether we mean definitely mamzer or only suffolk mamzer. Ava loy daima me alma. But Rava says, if there's no suspicion about her with others, if the only one that anybody has any reason to believe she's been with has been the Orus, Bas v'didei shadinin lei, then we're going to assume that the kid follows him, and we're going to say that the kid is kosher. Meaning, so Rashi says like this: we have a concept in halacha called roiv be'ilas eitzel abal. That when you have a married woman who may have been mizana, we say, nevertheless, the children we assume are kosher most of the time, because we assume roiv be'ilas eitzel abal, most of the time she has relations as with her husband. It's only a miut of times has been with other people, and therefore we go according to the roiv. Now here, we can't say that because she's only an arusa. She and her orus have no business having relations in the first place. So therefore, you can't really say roiv be'ilas eitzel abal. So therefore, the fact that she's choshud of having relations with other people is enough to make it, says Rava, on explaining Rav's opinion, that would be enough to make the kid a mamzer, or at least a high probability of being a mamzer, but not when there's not even a chashad of her being with other men. Then there's no reason to say that. Then we would assume that the kid is the orus. They only had relations the one time, as we're going to see shortly. Rava says, our Mishnah says that Rava says that we can show from our Mishnah that even one time we can assume that it follows him even when it's outside of marriage. So Omar Rava Menoa Minula. So Rava says, where do I get that from? Dekatani, from our Mishnah. We said Yolda. So we have the case where a woman was nanas or nispata, where she was raped or seduced, and the Mishnah had said that once she's pregnant, then she's also to eat truma for reasons that we've learned about earlier in the parak. But then Yolda, if the man who had relations with her was a kohen, then once she bears the child, she's allowed to eat truma. Now, heichidami. Now we have to consider, says Rava, what's the scenario? Ilema de daima me alma. Now, okay, so we're not talking about the case of oinus over here. Right? We're primarily focusing on the case of pitui, where he seduced her. So in other words, it was consensual. So heichidami. So what would be the scenario? Ilema de daima me alma. Are we talking about where she's suspect of having been with other men as well? Well then, Yolda Mai Teichel, why should she be able to eat truma once she had the baby? Who says that the baby is from this Koyan who seduced her? Maybe it's from one of these other men where there's also suspicion that they had relations with her. So obviously we have to be talking about, says Rava, that our Mishnah means that there's only suspicion, and more than suspicion, we know that she was with him and we don't have any suspicion with anybody else. There's no rumors or anything going around that she's been with anybody else. Well then, Rava says, then in that case, let's make a Kal v'chomer. Then in the case of the Mishnah of seduction, of pitui, when she wasn't related, she hadn't done kiddushin with any of the men, and she's also equally to all of them, and basu didei shadinin lei, and the implication of the Mishnah is that we follow him because loy daima me'alma, because we don't say, in other words, so we don't order, in other words, the point is that Rava is saying, now like this, we might have thought to say that once she was mafka herself to this one man and she had relations with him outside of marriage willingly, maybe she's equally well mafka herself to other men. So even though we don't have any rumors, even though nobody's talking about her with other men, maybe we should have to be concerned about that. And we're saying that not. We're saying that we assume that the child comes from the one man who was a Kohen who we know had relations with her. So then, and in that case, in the case of our Mishnah, she hasn't done Kiddushin with him or with anybody else. and still basra didesha dinamai, and we see that we assume the child to be his, well then, says Rava, how much more so in the case that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, where she is, she's also to everybody else, being an Eish HaSish. She's mutter to one, no, not really mutter, she's not really mutter to her Orus yet, because it's only during the Erusin, but she's more mutter to him than she is to anybody else, because to anybody else, she's an Eish HaSish. So Loi Koshkin, how much more so, says Rava, that Rav would say, or at least that we can accept Rav's opinion, that as saying that that in such a case, we would in fact say that the child is his. So when is Rav saying that the child is a mamzer, or suffolk mamzer, or whatever, according to the different possibilities in Kiddushin, would be specifically when not only daima mine, not only she's suspect of being with the Orus, but also of being with other men. Well, again, we can't even say that Roiv would allow us to say the child is from the Orus, because there's no Roiv Be'ilus Eitzel HaBaal yet, and therefore that would be the specific case where Rav would say that the child is a mamzer. However, Omele Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav, La'olam emelach kol hefer b'daimi minei afagab d'lo daima me'alma, Omer Rav Avlad Mamzer. Abaya says, not necessarily. You could even say maybe that Rav's opinion that the child is a mamzer would be regardless, even if she's suspect of being only with the Orus and not with anybody else, Omer Rav Avlad Mamzer, that even then Rav would say the child would be a mamzer. My timer, and why is that? Midamirin, because we would say, Mida afkura nafshal agabe Orus, since she was promiscuous with the Orus, she allowed herself to have relations when it's also a pialocha with the Orus, because after all, during the Erusin, she's not supposed to. After enough shal alma, there's a good possibility that maybe she was mafka herself to others as well. Maybe she did that with others as well. And then if so, the child would be a mamzer. Umasnissin, you're going to say, what about proof from our Mishnah, where we're saying that we definitely assume that the child is his to the extent that if he was a Kohen, she's now allowed to eat Truma once the baby is born. You would have to say, says Abaya, Shoshneim Chavushin Beveis Asurin. Suppose the two of them were in jail, nobody else is around, so therefore when he had relations with her, we're doing the Erusin, we know it can't have been anybody else. Or for that matter, all Mishnah is talking about outside of Erusin. It couldn't have been anybody else because there was nobody else available. That wouldn't show, says Abaya, that in a normal case where there are other men available and conceivably she could have been mafka herself to them, that we should say that we know for sure she didn't. No, says Abaya, that's not a solid enough basis to say that Rav would say that. Okay, that's version one. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes, Biva Aleha, if the Orus actually had relations with her, then there would be no argument. Everybody would agree that we could assume the child is from the Orus, because after all, we know that he had relations with her. So rather, according to the second version, the discussion went as follows. Arusa she'ibra. When the Arusa is pregnant, and we don't know for sure, now we don't know in the discussion yet, are we talking about that we know that he had relations with her or not? So Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, Shmuel Amar Vlad Suki. That is when, according to the second version, you would have the machlokas where Rav says the kid is a mamzer and Shmuel would say he's a suki, only a suffolk mamzer. And according to the second version, Omar Rava, Mistabra Milse de Rav, Deloy Daima Mine Vidaima Me Alma. It's more logical to understand Rav's opinion as being talking about where there's no suspicion with him and there is suspicion with others. Because in other words, so if we don't even have a basis for saying that she had relations with him, then obviously she's already an Eish HaSish. So therefore, any kid that she has from anybody else is going to be a mamzer. So Robert says specifically we're talking about that case. And in fact, Tosfos says that in that case, in the second version, if Lloyd Daima Me'alma, if there's no suspicion of her being of her being with other men, then Abaya would agree that Rav is not saying the kid is a mamzer. So the machloika specifically would be where so Rava says if we have no particular suspicion that she was with him, we don't know that she was with him, but we have reason to suspect that she was with others, then Rav would be saying the kid is a mamzer. Aval daimamine, but if there is suspicion with him as well, and actually more than just suspicion, Tosva says daimamine means that we know that he had relations with her, and then daimame alma would be that there's a shame ra that there are rumors going around that she's been with others. Then afagav the daimame alma, so even though she's also suspect of being with others, basri didei shanin and lay. Then Rava says, even Rav would agree that you follow him and you say, because the fact is, since we know that she was with him, then therefore that's reason enough. And it's not a matter of roiv be'ilas eitz labal, but it's close enough. And therefore we would say, because he's moida, that he had relations with her, then we know that he had relations with her, shabal le'abavadai, Tosfa says, then that would be good enough to say that it follows him. And Omar Rava, and according to the second version, Rava says, Mina Minala, where do I get that understanding of Rav from? Dikatani again, because our Mishnah says, Yolda Toichel, that once she has the baby, when a Koyan seduced her and she became pregnant, so once she has the baby, she's able to eat Truma. Again, Heki Dami. So Rava says in the second version, what's the scenario? Ilema de Daimi Minei Vale Daimi Ma'alma. If there's only suspicion that she was with him and not anybody else, if we know that he's the only one that we have a strong basis to say that she was with, would the mission have to tell us she could eat? Obviously, we know that already the halacha that once she has a baby from a koyin, then she's allowed to eat teruma. Ella loved a diamond nami me'alma. Evidently, we have to be talking about where there's also suspicion of her being with other men. And yet, umma hosim de lahai yisura lahai yisura. So then, in that case, madach again, same kavachoyim as before. Madach in our Mishnah, which is equally osir to all the men, because she's a pnuya, she has no business having relations with any men, and basri didei shadin lay, and we follow him, we say that the child follows him, and we assume that it's his child. Like Hoshkin, how much more so we're here? She's also to everybody else and more mutter to him. Again, more, and she's not completely mutter because she's an Arusa, but she's more mutter to him than she is to anybody else. So, in the first version, in other words, Rava, in the first version, Rava was saying that the key thing is there daima me'alma or not? In the second version, Rava is saying is, as long as daima mine, as long as we have suspicion or more of a certainty that we know that she was with him, then we would say that it's for sure his child. So in the first version, we actually use the expression habala resasa bevase kamiv, where he had relations with her, which means that it's more of a certainty. Here in the second version, also we're saying, again, Tosfos explains that daima mine also means, in effect, the same thing. It means, in other words, that we know for sure that she was with him, and there's questions of whether she was with others as well. So that's what it is. In the first version, Rava is saying that if loy daima ma'alma, if there's no suspicion of her having been with anybody else, then we would say you go according to him. In the second version, we say it doesn't even matter whether daima ma'alma. As long as daima mine, as long as we have reason to say that she was with him, that's good enough to say that basri didei, that we go according to him. On the basis of, we said, that's again the kavah chomer based on the din in our Mishnah. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabba, lo'olam emeloch kol hecha the daima me'alma, afagab the daima mine, omel Rav of Lad Mamzer. Not necessarily. You could say that Rav would be saying the child was a mamzer, even if there's suspicion from everybody else, yeah, and also from him. Almost listen, but Deloy Daima Plow. So rather, our Mishnah would be talking about where there was no previous suspicion at all. So therefore, we have no. So now the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that that we have reason to assume that she became pregnant with this one bia, even though, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, it's not always such a clear thing that a woman will become pregnant from the first bia. Nevertheless, the fact that we know that he's the only one where we have any suspicion that she was ever with, then we can assume, says Abaya, that the Mishnah is telling us good enough, and therefore we can assume the baby is a koyin to the extent that she can eat truma.
If this was a strange person, would it be chaykaris?
If this was a strange, is she an arusa?
Yeah.
If she's an Arusa and she was with another man, sure, she's chayav skill or rukaris. So, yes.
And that'd be another reason.
Not skill, actually. Whatever, she'd be chayav chenek or rukaris.
This is the reason why she probably was only with this guy who she was Arusa with.
Well, maybe. I mean, in the first version, we said not necessarily. In the first version, we said, at least Abaye had said, that once she's mafka herself to the Arus, she might be mafka herself to others as well, and therefore there's no proof. In the second version,
death is pretty much threatening, don't
you? Well, you need aid in Basra, and you know all the details over there, so she may figure she might be able to get away with it.
Making sure the kid is in her mom's
room. Right, so that the question is, we're focusing not so much on whether she's chayav misa or not, we're focusing on whether the kid is a mamzer. The halacha, actually, the Gemara Paskins in Kiddushin, in this machloikas of Rav and Shmuel, with the two versions that we have over here, really the halacha ends up being like Shmuel anyway. The Gemara explains over there that when you, so we're saying the kid is a suki, is a sophic mamzer, especially we said one version of the Gemara in Kiddushin over there is in fact that even Rav would agree with that. What we do is, the Gemara says, we can ask the mother who she was with. If she says, Lakosha Nivalti, then that's good enough for us to say that the kid is for us to say that the kid is not a mamzer. We're going to learn in Ksubas as well. We're going to learn near the beginning of Ksubas. We're going to talk about a sugya on that subject. We don't always say that the kid is a miyuchas. We still say, for example, now this is what we're talking about when the people around are kshedim, when the people around are psulim, then you have a different issue, because then you have the question whether the baby might be apostle like the father, whether he inherits the father's status. So there you have my loss of miyuchas, and you have a whole thing about that. We'll get to that in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, when we get to the end of the first parak of Ksubas. But yeah. For purposes over here, what we say is so in this case, again, it's Arusa She'ibra. So we ask her, so the halacha is, if we can't ask her or if she doesn't know, then we say that the Vlad is a Shesuki because it might have been with him, it might have been with somebody else. But if she says that it was my Arus, then we say that the child is kosher, because again, given that she is an Arusa and the Arus is more mutter to her than anybody else, then we say we can accept that what she's saying is true, that she was with her Arus, given that after all the Arus does agree that he had relations with her. Whether if the Arus denies it, by the way, whether he has the ability to say then that this isn't my kid, there you have Machloikus Rishonim about that. The Rambam says he has that ability. Some other Rishonim say that no.
Does he get Malkus if he agreed?
Would he get Malkus? Well, it'd be Malkus Maudus anyway, because Dirabonim, that he's not supposed to have relations with her at that point. Would he get Malkus Maudus? It's a good question. It might depend on the discretion of Eistin, as Malkus Maudus usually is anyway.
What's
the difference? Malkus Maudus is Malkus that the Chachamim give at their discretion for a person who's over on a Din Dirabonim. So they can decide the amount of Malkus, they can decide whether to give it or not, and then so forth.
Okay.
Well, that's true. Okay, anyway. Mishnah continues. Eved poisel mishum biyochula. We said in the Mishnah we had a scenario where an eved passels a woman from truma and from kahuna when he has relations with her. But we said that an eved is not poisel mishum zera. And we had the example over there where we had a woman had a son, where that son went and was mezana with a shifcha, and they had a child. So we said that child is not considered his grandmother's descendant, and therefore it doesn't affect his grandmother as far as eating truma. So even if so, so again, the scenario was, for example, that the original woman was a bas koyin. She married a Yisrael, where now she's disqualified from eating truma. They have a son. She's still disqualified because she has zera from him. Now, though, that son has this child with a shifcha, where again the grandchild now is considered an eved. So now, if her husband and her son die, she's allowed to go back to eating truma. She has a descendant from her husband, Yisrael. Doesn't matter, because that child is not considered her descendant because he's an Evan.
This is yes, his case, but I still didn't get it.
So you want to grab from the shelf over there the Mari Yavamas?
The grandmother was married to a Kayan.
So you actually have two possible cases, but let's talk about one of them, for example. Let's talk about that the grandmother is a Bas Kayan.
Okay.
She's married to a Yisrael.
Okay, second marriage?
No, first marriage. Bas Kayan's allowed to marry Yisrael. So she's a Bas Yisrael, she's married to a Kohen. They have a son. The son, of course, is a Kohen. The Kohen now went and had relations with a Shifcha, which he shouldn't have done, of course. They have a child. That child is considered an Eved,
right?
Because he goes according to the mother, as the Gemara is going to say now. Now, if her husband dies and her son dies, so usually, okay, so in this case, actually, we have she's drawn as a Bas Yisrael. Fine. The point is, in other words, that
it
if it had been a Bas Kohen, so let's say she was a Bas Kohen, fine. So let's say she was a Bas Kohen. Normally, with her husband, so normally we would say like this: with her husband and her son dead, we would say if she has no descendants at all, then sure, she's allowed to go back to eating Jerma. In this case, she has a descendant; she has a grandson. Nevertheless, that grandson is not considered hers because it comes through a shifcha. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Okay. Where was the one where the grandsons are coming
down? That's later in the mission. We'll get to that in a minute.
We're gonna get to that again.
Okay. So my time. So why is that? Because Omakra, the pasuk says that Isha v'yiladei ati. The pasuk describes the case. Thank you. The pasuk describes the case where an eved ivri has where an eved ivri marries a shifcha knanis. We know that that's the exception. Usually a yid is not allowed to marry a shifcha knanis. But in this case, the pasuk says that an eved ivri, his master, can give him a shifcha knanis. And the pasuk says that if he does, then the pasuk says that it should be allowed out to you, that eventually when he goes free after 6 years or yovel or whatever, then the woman and her children remain by the master because they're the children follow the mother and they're considered avodim. So we see the same thing as in our mission. Next, we said in the mission of mamzer posel machil, we said a mamzer is able to passel or to allow to eat. Namely, there you have also a case that we described yesterday where, again, in that case, here they drew it out as a Bas Yisrael. So let's say it's that. So a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, where now she's able to eat Truma. Her husband dies, but she has a daughter from him. She's still able to eat Truma because she has children from him. If now that daughter then marries an Eved, which again, she's not allowed to do, and they have a son, the son is considered, our Mishnah had said, is considered a Mamzer, because our Mishnah followed the opinion that the child of an Eved and a Jewish woman is a Mamzer, which we learned earlier in the Masechta. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is actually the child is kosher. But let's say for purposes of our Mishnah, we're saying that the child is a Mamzer. If then her daughter dies, we still say she's allowed to eat Truma. But in this case, we here being a Bas Yisrael, actually, we say she's still allowed to eat Truma because she has a grandson who's a Mamzer, and that grandson is from her husband who was the Kohen. He's a Mamzer, he himself can't eat Truma. Nevertheless, his grandmother can eat Truma because of him. Yeah. So, Tana Rabbanan, so we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, Vezera Einla, when the Pasuk says about a Bas Kohen that she has no descendants, then she's allowed to go back to eating Truma in her father's house. Aimli Elazara. Now, from that, you would only know that it means her own children. Zera Zara Minayin. How do we know that it means future generations as well? Talmud Lema, Vezera Einla Mikol Makim. Therefore, it says Vezera Einla, meaning regardless, she has no descendants at all. Aimli Elazara Kosher. Now, you would only know so far that it means if they're kosher. Zera Posel Minayin. How do we know that it means even if they're posel, like the Mamzer of this case? Talmud Lema, Vezera Einla. And when it says Einla means Ayin Aleha, means ayin alo, means check into her. In other words, in several places, it actually explains the vort is that the pasuk could have said ayin without the letter yud. The word ayin can be spelled aleph nun, and the aleph would have it same. Instead, we have a yud after the aleph. That allows us to darshan the word ayin as if it said ayin, meaning investigate into it. As long as you can find somehow, even generations later, a descendant of hers from her husband, then that's still considered zera. So regardless whether they're kosher or possible. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How can you use the same words, v'zera einla, for two different drashas? V'apikti l'zera zara. You already said that v'zera einla includes future descendants. How can you also say that it includes psulim? And the answer is zera zara la'itzrich kura. Really, actually, for grandchildren, you don't even need a pasuk because we know b'nei bonim are into bonim, because grandchildren are considered like children. And in many places, we learned in the previous parak an example of that, where we said that we mentioned over there, where we mentioned in connection with the din of Pru Avu, and we said over there, we brought from a pasuk that the grandson of Machir ben Menashe is considered his son. So you don't really need a pasuk to tell us grandchildren, ki itzrich krel or zera pasuk. Rather, the chiddush of the pasuk is that even zera pasuk is considered children. So, Amalei Rish Lakish L'Rav Yechanan, now the Shlokish asked Rav Yechanan, the scenario of our Mishnah, where this daughter married an Eved, and we said their child is a Mamzer. Kiman Rav Akiva da Omer Yesh Mamzer Mechayev Elavin. Do you have to say that our Mishnah is only like Rav Akiva? Because after all, for an Eved to marry a Bas Yisrael is only an Isur Lav, Lo Yekodesh and Lo Yekdesha. There's no Isur Kodesh involved. And so, and yet we're saying that the child is a Mamzer. That seems to be only like Rav Akiva. And the answer is, And the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is no. You could even say it's going to the Chachamim, but Ovid Chachamim ve'Eved Moidu, because they would agree that the Machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is about other Chiyuvei Lavin. For example, a Mamzer, well, not a Mamzer, is not a good example. Let's say, for example, a Ger Amoni, where we said he's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. If he does, then Rabbi Akiva would say the child is a Mamzer because there's an Issu Lav over there, and the Chachamim would say that not, because no Issu Koris. But when it comes to a goy or an eved moidu, then the chachamim would agree that the child is a mamzer. The ki osir of dimi, omer of yitzchak bar of dimi, mishum rabenu, oiv chachamim be eved abba bas yisrael of lad mamzer. Because we had the whole discussion before on daf mem hey, where we had several opinions that said that the child of a goy or an eved with a Jewish woman is a mamzer. Again, we said the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that he is kosher, but our mishnah is following the opinion that says that he's a mamzer. So that would even the chachamim against Rabbi Akiva would agree to that.
So Mishnah could sort of say not be the actual final.
Yeah, the Mishnah is not always the actual final halacha. We often have in the Gemara where we'll say that the Mishnah is only one opinion among many. And in general, we're going to try to make a Mishnah work according to all the known opinions of Tanoim, which is why the Gemara is bothered over here by the idea that the Mishnah should be according to Rabbi Akiva. But within that, you can sometimes have where the Amiroim will then point out that aside from the opinions in the Mishnah, you have other opinions in Braises, and therefore that we can follow them. Okay. We said Kohen Gadol Shapom Shaposel. So now we have the example you were asking about, Aaron, where we have an example where Kohen Gadol can passel his grandmother from eating truma, which was the scenario we said in the Mishnah that a Bas Kohen married Israel. They had a daughter. So far the Bas Kohen is passel from eating truma because she has a husband and she has a daughter who are Yisraelim. That daughter goes and marries a Kohen. So that their son could be a Kohen Gadol conceivably, because after all, he's a kosher Kohen. If now the Bas Kohen's husband and daughter die, so now you would say, well, she doesn't have any, but she does. She has a descendant. She has a Kohen Gadol. The descendant himself is a Kohen Gadol and can also eat truma. Still, he's her descendant through a Yisrael, because his mother's father was a Yisrael who was married to her, then therefore that passels her from eating truma. And therefore we said, if that's the point. So therefore that's what the Mishnah says. The Zoyse Meres, the Mishnah had used the expression that the grandmother can very well say, I don't want to have more grandchildren like my grandson, the Kohen Gadol, who passels me from eating truma. So the Gemara teaches that out. Turn it on bottom. A woman could say, Hareini kaporas ben biti kuza shemacheleini betruma. Let me be a kapora for, in other words, anything bad that happens to me should be a kapora on behalf of my grandson kuza. Kuza means a small keli, meaning, in other words, a mamzer who's like a smaller person, an unimportant person, shemacheleini betruma, because he makes me able to be eat truma, as in the previous example where we said, because she was married to a Kohen and they have a grandson who's a mamzer, the fact is that grandson still makes it possible for his grandmother to eat truma. The eni kaporas ben biti kada, but she may well continue and say, I don't want to be the kapora of my grandson kada, where kada means a large container, which represents the Kohen Gadol, who is big and important, shepreslani mina truma, where he passels me from eating truma. In fact, the Meiri discusses that there can actually be a scenario where the same woman could say both. She could have two grandchildren, one of whom is a mamzer, and the other one, through one daughter, she has a grandchild who's a mamzer, and through a different daughter, she has one who's a Kohen Gadol, and she's saying, you know, I'm happier with the mamzer than I am with the Kohen Gadol, because thanks to the Kohen Gadol, I can't eat truma, but if the mamzer only was around, then I would be able to. Let's say she has two daughters, and one of them married, and one of them married an Eved, one of them married an Eved, and the other one married, and the other one married a Kohen. Yeah.
She's a Kohen?
She herself is a Bas Kohen, yeah.
How come if someone, so the other one married, the other
so one, one of them, so one of them married a Shifcha, so one of them married, so
I don't understand why the one that married the Kohen, and the Kohen dies, the husband dies, and the grandson is a Kohen Gadol, why is that possible?
So what passes her because her husband was a Yisrael, because in the first generation, the Bas Kohen was married to a Yisrael. As long as she has descendants from that Yisrael, even if those descendants themselves are Kohen, even if they're Kohenim Dolim, nevertheless, they still pass her because they come through a Yisrael.
But if it was a Mamzer?
If it was a Mamzer, then that's what we're saying. So if it's a Bas Kohen, then no, not only it wouldn't pass her, she would still be able to eat Truma.
Oh,
right. No, so actually, no, so, 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 if I care, actually, no. So, sorry, the case of a mamzer being machil starts out with a bas yisrael. So actually, it's not so simple to just say we're talking about two daughters and one of them did one, and one of the maybe draws out a more complicated scenario where I don't remember the details of it, but he draws out a more complicated scenario where conceivably you could have the same woman is in the position where let's say you're talking about three generations later where she has descendants who are mamzerim as well as descendants who are kohenim golim. And again, she started out as a bas kohen, and as a result of one of them, she's able to eat truma, and as a result of the other one, they're not.
So a bas yisrael who marries
a kohen is allowed to eat truma and is allowed to continue eating truma as long as she has descendants from that kohen. Meaning, even if that descendant is a mamzer, she still can.
And
Bas Kohen marries Yisrael is the other way around. As long as she has descendants from him, then she's also teetrum. Exactly right.
Crazy. That's
the halacha. Yeah. Which, you know, as we discussed yesterday, I mean, the fact is eating truma is an avoida, so therefore she might well hold it in a certain sense against her grandson, the Kohen Gadol, that thanks to him, she can't do that avoida of eating truma.
How many people consider that the Kohen Gadol
might? How many people consider the Kohen Gadol is my grandson? Sure, she has nachas from him because of that. But, all right, Hadran Alachamon. Next, we're continuing on the topic of who's allowed and not allowed to eat truma. So in the previous perek, we were focusing more on the family members of the Kohen. Now we're going to start talking about the Kohen himself and thereby also his family, which Kohenim themselves are allowed and not allowed to eat truma. So the Mishnah starts off by saying, Ha'oro v'cholat meim la'yechel v'truma. An oro, which is a kohen god, a kohen who does not have a bris milah, and any person who is tomei is not allowed to eat truma. But neshein ba'avdein yoichel b'truma. But their wives and their avodim are allowed to eat truma because we learned at the beginning of the previous parak. We said in effect it's as if the kohen's mouth hurts him, as if he's not eating because he has a toothache or something, rather than because he's intrinsically possible to eat truma. He himself would be kosher as soon as the arelus or the truma goes away. Now, you have a big machloikus between Rashi and most of the other Rishonim versus Rabbeinu Tam. What kind of oral are we talking about over here? Rashi says any kind of oral was included over here, even if he's not having a bris milah because of health reasons, for example, because his brothers died. Nevertheless, the fact is he has an orla, and therefore he's possible from eating truma. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam says, Tosfos Rishonim brings it over here, regular Tosfos brings it in several places in Chas, that Rabbeinu Tam holds that no. If he's mesu echad machnas mila, then he is allowed to eat truma. When do we say that he's not? Is when he doesn't want to have a bris mila for other reasons. Now, you can have, when you think about it, there are a few reasons why a person might not want to have a bris mila. There could be because of the health danger, like we're saying. At the other extreme, there could be because he's mumur la'arelus. He says, I know there's a mitzvah to do a bris mila, but I deliberately don't want to. So then there's no chiddush that he can't eat truma. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, a mumur is possible from eating truma. And this is considered a mumur. And then you have in between, you can have, for example, we're saying, I don't want a bris mila because of the pain. That's the case. Rabbeinu Tam says that's the oral we're talking about over here. He could very well buck up and have a bris mila. And if he did, then good, he'd be able to eat truma. As long as he doesn't, then he can't. But when Rabbeinu Tam says, when he's not having a bris mila because it's dangerous, then we would say that he is in fact allowed to eat truma.
So the question is, like, in this case, why didn't he have it when he was born?
So that's the thing. So according to Rashi, we're talking about Mesu Afa Machas Mila. According to Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, let's say his parents didn't make him a bris mila when he was 8 days old. Let's say his parents weren't for him and they didn't. Yeah, whatever. Because of Zero. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so fine. So the Oral himself, according to these different definitions, is not allowed to eat Truma, but his wife and his Avodim can. Continues the Mishnah. Suadako Krustrafa, a man who's been injured in his genitals, where we're going to describe, where the Mishnah is going to tell us a little bit about the details of it. The Gemara later on Daf Ayin Hey, Ayin Vav, is going to go into much more detail about it, about what these things are. So now the Torah tells us that a Suadako Krustrafa are not allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. So if the guy, if the Kohen is a Psuadako, Krustrafa, Hein Va'avdei and Yofu, they can continue to eat Truma. Their Avodim can continue to eat Truma. Unashehem lo Yoichlu, but their wives not. Because as soon as he has relations with his wife, then he makes her a Chalom. Actually, because he's not allowed to, because he's not allowed to have relations with a Bas Yisrael. Actually, Mephoshim talk about why is Rashi saying that he makes her a Chalola. A Chalola is only when he's also Mitzad Isurei Kohuna. He was not an Isser Kohuna. Here it's a Psul Kohol, so it shouldn't make her a Chalola. It should be something else. Some of Foshim talk about, okay, maybe it would make her a Zoyna. Maybe it would be like what we said in the previous Pedek, that uh, We learn from Kisi of the Ish Zor that he's considered Zor Etzla Me'ikra. There's different explanations among the Rishonim what exactly the problem is. But the point is, the first time he has relations with her as Suadakwa or as a Kurushrafa, then he's passing her from Turma.
Doesn't matter if he was married first.
Doesn't matter whether they're married first, yeah. But the Imlo Yadam Mishinasab Suadakwa or Kurushrafa, if ever since he became Suadakwa or Kurushrafa, he never had relations with his wife, Hareli Yoichlu, then his wife is still allowed to eat Turma because she was married to him before. So now that's it. So the fact that, so now he's barred from having relations with her. If he ever has relations with her, he's going to pass on her. But as long as they're married, she can still eat Turma. Which, by the way, I mean, the Marshal says, you know, obviously we're going to tell him he has to divorce her because, you know, they can't really stay married if they're not allowed to have relations. But as long as they are married, as long as he hasn't given her a get yet, that she can still continue eating Turma, because fine, he hasn't passed her because there was no Bia to pass her.
If she's in the middle of a meal,
continues the Mishnah. The Ezo Ptsua Daka. What is the definition of Ptsua Daka? Kol Shenifsu Abeitzim Shalei Afil Achas Man. If one of his Beitzim was injured, if his Beitzim were injured, even only one of them, then that's enough to make him a Ptsua Daka. As we'll learn the details in the Gemara. Ukrustrocha. I don't know if the printed Mishnayos do here in the Gemara, it does, yeah, with an aleph. Yeah. Well, Krustrofa, what is the definition of Krustrofa? Kol she nichras hagid. When the aver was cut off, when any part of it was cut off, the im nishtayim me'atora, afilu kuchot asayra, but if there is even a hair's breadth left of the atora, kosher, then he's still kosher and he doesn't hassle a woman with having relations with her. The atora, we've learned several times in the Masechta, is the tip of the aver where Rashi points out it starts sloping towards the tip, and as Rashi points out, that part will always remain soft. When the rest of it becomes hard, then that area becomes soft. That part is called the atara. So now, if only the atara was cut off and you still have a tiny little bit of it left, then he's still kosher. But if any part of the actual, if the entire atara is gone and any part of the gid, the part that actually becomes hard, is cut off, then that's the definition of krustrafa. Literally, krustrafa means cut off and pours out, because when he's injured like that, then his urine pours out, like it doesn't come out in the normal way, like it kind of like pours, it kind of like pours out like it would from a large container. Okay, so again, so in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Hey Ayin Vav, we're going to talk about in some detail all these dinim. Okay, so the Gemara starts up. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Eliezer, it says on the side, Minayin la'orol she'en oichel b'truma. How do we know that this that we said in the Mishnah, an oral is not allowed to eat truma? How do we know that? So like this, Nematosha v'socha b'pesach v'nematosha v'socha b'truma. Both by the Korban Pesach and by, it says, Tosha v'socha la'yoichel b'y, and by truma, it also says, Tosha v'kohen v'socha la'yoichel kodesh. So we have a gzeira shava. Ma Tosha v'socha omer v'pesach oral also b'y. Just like by the Korban Pesach, when we say that Tosha v'socha can't eat it, it means also, now the Pasuk says there in so many words, b'chol oral la'yoichel b'y. So therefore, so the oral can't eat Pesach. So after Tosha v'socha omer b'truma oral also b'y. That's Rebbe Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Einet Sarich. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need that Zeru Shava. I have another source for it. Harehu Oimer, Ish Ish L'Rabbi Sa'oro. The Pasuk starts off by saying, Ish Ish, that any man from the descendants of Aaron, where he's Tomei, can't eat Truma. The word Ish Ish, says Rabbi Akiva, comes to include an Oro that he can't eat Truma as well. Not that he's not called an ish if he's an oral, but the word ish ish implies that a mute, only certain kinds of ish can eat truma and not an oral. So let's analyze that. The Gemara says, Omer Mar, Rabbi Lazar, whatever, Omer, Nema Tosha Besacha Pesach, Nema Tosha Besacha Betruma. So we said he makes a Gzeira Shava, Ma Tosha Besacha Omer Pesach Oral also boy, Af Tosha Besacha Omer Truma Oral also boy. So the Gemara points out, you would have to say Mufta. Necessarily, you have to say that this Gzeira Shava is Mufne, namely that the words Tosha V'Sacher were not needed in connection with the Korban Pesach or in connection with Truma. We would have known Dinim, that those that are embodied in those words without it saying in the Pasuk, and therefore that those words are extra, and therefore we have them available for the Gzeira Shava. D'i Lav Mufne, because if not, Ikal Mifrach, then you could slog it up. We have a general rule throughout Shas like this. We say that You have a Gzeira Shava, but then if that Gzeira Shava is not Mufna, if those words were actually needed in the Pasuk for some other purpose, then we say, yes, you can make the Gzeira Shava, but Meshivin, you can also slug up the Kavah Chomer by showing that the two things are not really similar. So here, we would be able to say that. because ikal mifrach, you could after all slug it up. Malah pesach sheken chayav and alam mishum pigul v'noisa v'tomei. Because after all, the kohen pesach is more stringent than truma because pigul noisa and tomei all apply to it. So therefore, you could say that maybe so if the gzeira shava is not mufna, then not necessarily can we use that kavachomer as a basis for learning the halacha. And the Gemara says loye af muye mufna. As a matter of fact, yes, it is in fact. Because you would say, you would shrug it up similar to the way you would a kavachomer. You would say that given that the korban pesach is so much more stringent than truma, then maybe the pasuk is not telling you that the dinim that apply to it also apply to truma. So the Gemara answer is loye indeed afnuye mufna. As a matter of fact, yes, it is mufna. The words toshe v'sachir are extra. Well, the Gemara asks, hey mufna, on which side are they extra? E the truma. If you're telling me the words toshe v'sachir by truma. If you're telling me that the words Toshe Basacher are you're going to argue by Truma they're extra? No, Mitzrach Tzrichi. As a matter of fact, you need them by Truma because you need them in order to teach us a din, which we otherwise wouldn't know. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Toshe of Zakonu Kinyan Olam, that the word Toshe of there means an Eved Ivri who you own forever, not forever, but till Yovel, and Sacher Zakonu Kinyan Shonim, and the word Sacher means an Eved Ivri that you own for 6 years. And so the Pasuk is telling you, if you are Koyan, have an Eved Ivri who's not a Kohen, then he's not allowed to eat Truma. He's working for you. It doesn't matter. He's a Toshe V'Sacher, and he's not allowed to eat Truma. And the Braisa continues, V'yoma Toshe V'yoma Sacher. So why does it need to mention both? It could say Toshe, which means the one who's there to Yovel. It shouldn't have to say the word Sacher. V'ani Omer, and then we would realize by Kavach Omer, Konu Kinyan Olamayna Oichol, Konu Kinyan Shonim Lekoshkein. If even the one who's there till Yovel, where he's more a permanent part of the household, he can't eat Truma, how much more so the one who's there for only 6 years? He's Jewish, never did. He's Jewish, of course. Yeah. But no, Elu Cain, because no, if the Pasuk had said only Toshav, how you see Omer Toshav Zakonu Kinyan Shonim, we would misunderstand. We would think that the word Toshav means the one who's there for only 6 years. Avakonu Kinyan Olam Ochel. Then we would think the one who's there for 50 years could eat. But sacher, the limit al toshav. Therefore, we need the word sacher not so much for itself, but to explain to us what the word toshav means. Sha'af apisha koni kinyan olam. That even though the toshav is there until yovel, he's there most of a human lifetime. Ein oichel, he still can't eat truma. So the point is, so the word toshav v'sacher by truma are not extra. Without them, we wouldn't know this din about the eved ivri. So therefore, we can't say that it's mufna from that side.
Everything would not
be. So an Eved Ivri of a Kohen cannot eat Truma unless, of course, he himself is a Kohen. Yeah. So.
How do you have the two kinds of Eved Ivri?
How do you have the two kinds? You can have an Eved Ivri because you have an Eved Ivri who's there normally for 6 years, but then if he says at the beginning of Mishpatim, I want to stay here, then he pierces you, and then he says, so
yeah.
Then he's allowed to. No, then he's not allowed to eat Truma.
Either way, he's not allowed to
eat Truma. That's the point. Saying Toshav, a Goyish slave, yeah. But now, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So therefore, the Toshav Besacher by Truma is not Mufni. Ela de Pesach Mufni. Rather, we can say the one by the Korban Pesach, the word Toshav Besacher is Mufni. Mufni means that it's extra. Means that it's extra in the Pasuk, and therefore you can use it. Therefore, you can use it for Xeder Shav.
It's like waiting to be used.
Well, then the question, because the Gemara continues, Hai Toshe V'Sacher Dekosav Rachmano V'Pesach, my ninu. Because consider, when it says by the Kohen Pesach, Toshe V'Sacher L'Yeich Aboy, what kind of Toshe V'Sacher are we talking about? Ilem Ineim a Toshe V'Sacher Mamesh, do you mean an actual Eved Ivri, like it does by Truma? What's the logic? Mishum Dehava Le'Toshe V'Sacher Iftalem Pesach, what do you mean? Because he's an Eved Ivri, would he be potter from Pesach? V'Hakayim Alon Gabit Truma D'Loy Ochel. We see that by truma, he's not allowed to eat from his master's truma, from the Kohen's truma. Almo like konile rabbi. So we see that his master doesn't own his goof. So he's a full-fledged yid. Hochanami like konile rabbi. The same way his master does not fully acquire his goof. Even la'olam, let alone for 6 years. So in other words, the point is, there's no reason that you would say by the Korban Pesach, that an Eved Ivri should not be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. He's a Yid, he's chayiv in all 613 mitzvahs, just like any other Yid. So therefore, obviously, Toshav Besacher there does not mean the same thing as it means by Truma. By Truma, we said Toshav Besacher means the Eved Ivri. By the Korban Pesach, it can't mean that. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that there are other Gemaras that say that an Eved Ivri is Gufay Konri, that the fact is his Guf is Konri, whereas all Gemara is saying that not. So Tosfos says, okay, what it means is, in other words, he's konui in the sense, for example, that the master can't just verbally tell him go, he has to actually give him a get shichru. But in terms of pattering him from mitzvahs, no, he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs that he would as that he was before he was
married. He's forced to give him a goita.
Yeah, the one exception is that he's allowed to give him a goita, right? But okay, anyway. So hochanami like konei rabbi, the same thing when it comes to korban pesach. Obviously, the master has not acquired him to the extent where he's potter from mitzvahs. So therefore, obviously, toshu basachu lo yochaboy cannot mean that he's not able to eat the korban pesach. Obviously, he's able to eat the korban pesach. Okay, the Ravid actually mentions an interesting idea that maybe the pasuk is saying that you shouldn't think he's automatically registered on his master's korban pesach. He has to register for it. But fine, nevertheless, the fact is where the lo yochaboy obviously doesn't mean he's not eating from it at all. So rather, we have to say that the word toshav asachar by korban pesach are extra, and therefore that they're available for gzeira shavah. Now, Tosfos points out, one second though, the fact is, I mean, you're not going to say that there's words extra in the pasuk that are teaching us something incorrect. If you're going to tell me that toshav asachar means an eved ivri, and you're saying an eved ivri can't eat from the korban pesach, then what does the pasuk mean? So Tosfos says, okay, what it means is toshav asachar, in that case, by the korban pesach, means a goyish slave. So it does mean that, but we wouldn't have needed the words toshav v'sacher to learn that, because we have other psukim that make it clear. For example, when it says v'chol oro lo yoychaboy, that itself makes clear that a goyish slave who hasn't had milo tvila is not allowed to eat from the korban pesach. So therefore, now we have the words toshav v'sacher are extra, and therefore we have them for gzeira shavah.
If he has a bris, then he's an
eved kanani, then he's chayiv in mitzvahs. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Va'akati mufne b'tzad echadu." Okay, so far so good. But now you have a kavach. Now you have a gzera shava that's only mufna on one side. The shamin and leiler of a lozer or of a liyazer, the amal mufne b'tzad echadu made in a reshivin. We find in a different Gemara, actually, we're going to have later in our Masechta, when we talk about Chalitza, where Rabbi Eliezer says that, yes, you can make a gzera shava when you have mufne b'tzad echad, but Rabbi Eliezer says you can still shlug it up. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say, if it's not mufna at all, you can't even make the gzeira shava. If it's mufna mitzad echad, then Rabbi Eliezer would say, l'meidun u'mashivin, you can make the gzeira shava, but if you find a reason to shlug it up, then you can shlug it up and not learn the halacha. Only if you have it's mufna mishnei tzadin, only if you can show that the words that are used for the gzeira shava are extra on both sides, only then do we say that there's no shlugging up such a gzeira shava. One side is korban pesach, the other side is truma. Yeah, where you're learning it from and where you're learning it to. So now, if we're saying that the words toshav v'sacher by the korban pesach are extra, because again, an eved ivri obviously is chayiv in korban pesach, and an eved knani and a goy, we know if you have a goyish worker working for you, we know from other pesukim he's not allowed to eat the korban pesach. Not an eved knani, but a regular goyish worker who you hired or something. So it's mufna from the korban pesach. But we said the word toshav v'sacher by truma is not mufna, because we said we need that to teach us the din that an eved ivri is not eating truma. So therefore, so it's only mitzad echad, and Rabbi Eliezer would hold such a thing as lamed in a meshivin. And the answer is like this: Actually goes into some length over here discussing what Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. We're gonna talk about it later on in the Masechta about what Rabbi Eliezer says about this zeder shava and what there's lamed in a meshivin that he holds. For example, that chalitza is kosher if it was done on the left leg, because you have a zeder shava. We have a gzeira shava that teaches us that the word regal means the right leg, but Rabbi Eliezer says if you made in a meshivin, you can still shlug it up. And therefore he says you don't have that gzeira shava. Okay. So anyway, so the answer is kiven de legufe like tzarech, the answer is like this, because given that the words toshav and sacher we're saying by the korban pesach, we don't need them legufoy, because the fact is they don't refer to an eved ivri. We said that ultimately, as Tosfos had said, they refer only to a goyish worker, and a goyish worker we anyway know can't eat from the korban pesach from other pesukim. So you have two words that are extra. So fine, shodi chad alamed v'shodi chad amalamed. So you apply one of them to the lamed, to the one you're learning from, which is the korban pesach. You take the other one and say as if it was by truma. And therefore, and there you go. Now you have a gzera shava, which is available from both sides. So in other words, it's as if by the korban pesach it only said the word toshav, and by truma it only said the word sacher. Now Tosfos says, then how do you have a gzera shava? It's not even the same word. Okay, the Gemara says in a number of places that when necessary you can make a gzera shava even from dissimilar words as long as they're in the same context. You have the Gemara mentions in a number of places, for example, the Rebbe Gzeira Shava, as far as a certain din in the dinim of tsaras and houses, we learn from Gzeira Shava, where in one pasuk it says b'shav and another pasuk it says uva, even though it's different words, but because they're zuhi shiva, zuhi bia. In effect, it means the same thing. So the same thing over here, Tosfos says, that's what the Gemara means. We would take the word toshav and we take the word sochir that says by the Korban Pesach. One of them remains by the Korban Pesach. The other one we move to Truma, and there you have it, Gzeira Shava, that's Mufna Mishneh Tzadik. So therefore, even Rebbe Eliezer would agree that such a thing is a valid Gzeira Shava. So that's how we learn that an oral can't eat a Korban Pesach, that an oral can't eat Truma. Because from a Gzeira Shava, from the Korban Pesach. Okay, the Gemara says, E ma Pesach oinen osibaya truma oinen osiba. Well then, if we're going to learn a Gzeira Shava from Pesach to Truma, then we should say the same way as an oinen can't eat a Korban Pesach, because in general, an oinen can't eat any korbanos. Later on in the sugya and a couple of blocks, we're going to learn that by a kavah, that itself. How do we know that from the psukim? We actually learn it by a kavah chomer from Maisa Sheni. The pasuk explicitly says, lo yachalti ba oinim imenu, I did not eat it while I was an oinen, and the Gemara ends up making a kavah chomer from that to kodshi. So then you should say the same thing by truma also. You should say that truma, an onan, is not allowed to eat. The answer is Amr Abyesi Bachanin, Omakra, Zor Bachol Zor. We have the pasuk that we quoted in the previous parent that we said, Bachol Zor lo yechaboy, meaning Zorus Amar Jilachobalay Aninus. It means that a Zor is not allowed to eat truma, but not an onan. An onan is allowed to eat truma. So the question is, aim of chol arelus. So nu, if you're saying that you're learning from the word v'chol, maybe it means any zor, even an oro. It means that any zor is not allowed to eat truma, but any koin is allowed to, even an oro. So we're back to, how do we know then that we're saying that because of the gzeira shava from korban pesach, an oro can eat truma? Maybe instead we should learn from the word v'chol that an oro is allowed to eat truma. And the answer is haksiv torch of a sacher. Nu, we have the gzeira shava that we just said. So the Gemara says, Umar Isa. So what's the logic? Once you're saying, look, what are we saying to you? You have a Gzeira Shava from Pesach. On the other hand, you have the word V'chol. So you're telling me the Gzeira Shava tells you an Oral is Osir, and the V'chol tells you that an Oinin is Mutter. The fact is, by a Korban Pesach, both of them are Osir. So why are you saying that only Oral do we take from Korban Pesach, and Oinin we don't because of V'chol? Maybe the other way around. Oinin we take from Korban Pesach, and Oral we don't because of V'chol. So Umar Isa, what's the logic? And the answer is mistabra arelus havale l'rabuy. It's more logical to include to say that an oral is included in the psulim, in the people who can't eat truma shekain, because an oral has more stringencies over an oinen. And the Gemara gives a simon for it: meisim krusim b'davar ha'eved. These are four things where we see that being an oral is more serious than being an oinen. Number one, mechusar maisa, an oral, an actual action is missing. An oinen, there's no action that's missing. Eventually, the day is going to pass, and he won't be an oinen anymore. An oral, they have to do something. Or maisa begufa, and not only it's a maisa, but it's something on that has to be done on his actual guf. Meaning, you could have a maisa that was done outside of his guf. For example, you know, you could have many maisim. You could have, for example, let's say you have to bring a korban or something. But here, it's not. Here, it's something that has to be done on his actual guf. But onush kores, and a person doesn't get a bris mila is chayv kores, unlike an oinen. The yeshna lifnad deeper, and mila existed even before matan Torah, as opposed to the concept of aninus didn't exist before matan Torah. So for all those reasons, we have umilas zchora ba'avada ma'akemis, and furthermore, we know that if a person has a child or an eved who needs a bris milah, then the father or the master is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until he arranges a bris milah for them. The pasuk says, himo loy kol zachar, make sure that all the males in his family have a bris milah. Va'oz yikrab la'asose, and then he can come close and bring the Korban Pesach.
If his Eved doesn't want,
then maybe, okay, we learned earlier in the Masechta that maybe you can make a deal with him that essentially he's going to remain a goy who's just working for you. He's not really an Eved who was acquired by you. So fine. But ordinarily, the point is that any Avodim or any children that you have to actually make a bris milah for them. In fact, Tosfos points out another point also about bris milah is also that it has yud gimel brisis. The Gemara mentions in some places that Hashem made 13 times in the section about bris milah in Parshas Lech Lecha, 13 times it says the word bris. We don't find that by any other mitzvah. So anyway, so the point is, so you have many things about bris milah compared to oinen, that therefore we're going to say if the pasuk is telling us that there's somebody who can't eat truma, it's more logical that that someone is the oral rather than the oin. So the Gemara says, Adraba Aninus have a little rabuye. On the other hand, Aninus has certain chumras over mila, shaken yeshna b'chol shah, because it applies any time, whereas it applies any time, whereas the iser of an oral eating the Chum Pesach is only once a year when it comes Pesach. Of an ahegas by noshim benoshim, and aninus applies equally to men and women. The ein biyadil sakin es atzmai, and unlike a bris milah where the person could conceivably have a bris, here he can't. He can't get himself out of aninus. He has to wait till the day is over. Now, as far as the bris milah, the interesting point is here is where you have Rabbi Natam's opinion that says that if he couldn't have a bris milah because his brother has died from it, then he's not considered an oral. So that fits very well with our Gemara because we were saying that yesh b'yodim was sakin asatmai. He could because he didn't have a bris milah because he doesn't want the pain, but fine, he could overcome that and do that. As opposed to when he's not having a bris milah because it's dangerous, you can't say b'yodim was sakin asatmai. So to answer Rashi and the other Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, one of the answers is, the fact is, let's say somebody did go and cut off his oral. He would be in tremendous danger, fine, but the fact is he's not an oral anymore. So in that sense, the yodel sakness atzmai, not that he should do that because of the danger, but the fact is, b'dieved, if it was done, then he still has a milah now. So therefore we can still call it the yodel sakness atzmai. Anyway, so aninus has certain chumras over arelus. And the answer is okay, hanach nefishim. The fact is, four is more than three. We said four things that milah has over aninus. We said only three that aninus has over milah. Four beats three. So therefore, again, if we're going to say that the posik is being memayit one kind of person from eating truma and being marba another one from the word v'cholzer, then we're going to say that it's memayit the oral and then marba the and then including the doyin. Rava Omar, Rava says you don't even need that. You don't need four beats three. Beloy hanach nefishin nami loy matzas amrit shavkin and arevus. Beloy hanach nefishin nami loy matzas amrit. Even if you don't focus on four being more than three. Still, you're going to argue that we should say that an oral is allowed to eat truma. No, loy matzis amrit. You can't say that shavkinun arelus tichtib begufei de pesach, that we would ignore arelus, where after all it says it explicitly by the korban pesach. It says b'chol oral lo yechaboy v'yafinun aninus pesach, and instead we would think to learn that aninus. You would think to say that an oinen can't eat truma, but an oral could. It doesn't make any sense. The pesach gufim imaisik aminun. After all, by the pesach itself. The only way we know that an oinin is not allowed to eat it is by learning by a kal v'chomer from Maaseh Sheni. So therefore, it's more logical that if we're going to learn a gzeirah shavah from Pesach to Truma, we're going to learn the actual thing that it says by the Korban Pesach itself, namely arelus, and not something that the Korban Pesach itself learned from something else, namely aninus. So forget about, Rava says, the fact that you have more on the side of arelus than you have on the side of aninus. Just the fact that it's more logical to learn what it says by the Pesach itself rather than something that you're learning from something else. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "E ma Pesach milah schora ba'avodav ma'keves?" Well, then he was something else. Now, by the Pesach, we just said that the milah of the males in his family and his avodim prevents him from bringing a korban Pesach. So after truma milah schora ba'avodav ma'keves, why don't we say that we learn the same thing that by the korban by truma, that the same thing not only the korban himself has to have a bris milah, but also that all of his children and all of his avodim do, and if not, then he can't eat truma. So why don't we say that? The answer is omakrua, because by the Korban Pesach, the pasuk says umalta oise oz yoichal boy. Because the pasuk says you make a bris milah for the eved, for example, then he can eat from it, meaning he the master. So therefore, milah schora v'avod ma'kevus boy milah chal pesach. The word boy is a mute. So only the milah of schora v'avod prevents him from eating the Korban Pesach. But in milah schora v'avod ma'kevus betruma, but it doesn't prevent him by truma because of the word boy. So the Gemara says, "Yehachi ema kol oral lo yechal boy nu." And by the oral also, you have the word boy in the pasuk. It says any oral should not eat a bit. So do the same kind of meal. Boy ena oichal av oichal b'truma. And the answer is haksiv toshav b'sachir. Again, you have a ribui from toshav b'sachir telling you, or gzeira shava rather from toshav b'sachir telling you that an oral can't eat truma. So therefore, the fact that you have a word boy doesn't take that away. Again, the question is umaru isa. What's the logic? To say that we should, what's the logic? Both of them involve arelus. One involves himself and one involves his schorim b'avadim. Why are we assuming that his own arelus prevents him from eating truma, but the arelus of his family does not? And the answer is Mistabra, Arelis to Gufay, Havilele Raboye. It's more logical to include his own Arelis, Shaken Maisa to Gufay, Vaonor Shkoris. Because after all, it's a Maisa that has to be done to his own Guf rather than to somebody else. And that he's Chayiv Koris if he doesn't do it. A person is not Chayiv Koris for failing to give a Bris Mila for his son or for his Eved, but he is Chayiv Koris if he himself doesn't have a Bris Mila. The Rambam, by the way, learns that what it means. How does he get Koris? I mean, any time he wants, he could get a Bris Mila. So the Rambam actually understands that what it means is that eventually, when it comes to the end of his life and he hasn't had a Bris Mila, at that point he's going to get Koris. Anyway, so it's more logical to include that. So the Gemara says, Adrava Mila Schorav Avodav Havilele Rabuye. You should say that the Mila of the other males and the Avodim in his family should be included. And we should say, in other words, that a Koyan who doesn't have everybody in his family, Gemalat Kenny Truma, Shaken Yeshna Machol Shah, because again, that applies all the time. It applies all the time because Truma applies all the time and Pesach doesn't. And again, the answer is Hanach Nefisha. And again, the answer is we have two advantages over Arelos to Gufe. Well, oh no, B'chol Shah, actually what it means is that the Arelos, Mila Schor Avavodav, it means that it applies all the time. In other words, that whenever he has a son, whenever he has an Eved, he can do the Bris Mila on them, as opposed to Milas Atzma is a one-time thing. So therefore, so you should say that has an advantage. And again, the answer is Hanach Nefishon. The answer is we still have two against one. We have Maisa B'gufoy, V'onur Shkoris is two things. Against that, you want to put Mila Schor Avavodav, which has one thing, that it has the advantage that it can be done over and over again, but still, two beats one. And again, the boy is saying, well, another way you could say, B'loy Hanach Nefishon Nami Le'motzes Amrit, you can't say that we should care whether two is more than one or not. Still, how could it be logical to say that his own arelos wouldn't prevent him from eating truma? But if somebody else in his household is an oral, then they can't eat truma, wouldn't be logical. So it's more logical to say that if Torah is telling us that there's somebody who can't eat truma, it would be the one who himself is an oral. And then you would say from the word boy, without the word boy, we would have thought that yes, we apply also arelos of the rest of his family. And therefore the word boy tells us that not. But you can't say the other way around, that an oral himself should be allowed to eat truma. And when then the Gzeder Shava would tell us then that if there's anybody in his family who's not Gemalot, then they can't, because there's no logic to it. Why would we say that arelos of somebody else in his family would be stronger than his own arelos? So then we'll continue tomorrow with Daushening the Psukim about Truma and about Korban Pesach, and work out the various details of who's allowed and not allowed to eat Truma.